VentureCast.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
McBeal. Right? I'm right.
I can't hear you.
Allie McBeal.
It is Allie McBeal. That
I know.
Correct.
My mom had the soundtrack and we would listen to that CD in the car all the time. I could even tell you who sang it.
That's, yeah. I mean, I kind of thought that this would be one that you'd get.
But specifically, it's not that I know it because I've seen the show. I just know it because I recall listening to that soundtrack in the car with my mom, like, all the time.
So have you seen the show?
I think it was on Netflix and I watched the first episode and it was good. I don't know why I didn't watch more of it, except that, I don't know, there were probably other better things to watch.
Probably the same reason that you still haven't watched The Practice.
No, because I've been busy watching crappy reality TV.
Now, if I were to tell you, hey, Liz, let's do a podcast where we go and discuss episode by episode The Practice, you'd start watching tonight, wouldn't you?
I would.
Okay. If there's ever any doubt through however many episodes that we have released on this podcast that I know what makes you tick, here's just another in the column of evidence of... I figured out how to make things happen with Liz. Just tell her it's for a podcast and then she'll jump in and do it.
I absolutely will. You let me know when we're doing The Practice Pod.
Yeah. So we are, I don't know when this is going to air. This is a special podcast episode. Speaking of
collab,
doing something for the podcast, this is doing something for another friendly podcast that, it's a really cool concept called the Friend Zone. And if you haven't checked it out yet, then you may very well have found us through the episode that this will ultimately air on. But the Friend Zone from what I have listened, which has not been every episode, but I have listened to a handful of episodes, is that it is a very large scale collaboration of these Friend Zones topics, which we are going to get into in this episode, from a whole bunch of different influencers and podcasters and content creators. So we have, again, we're going to do this as a kind of a different episode. This episode won't air on Air Quote Law Pod's feed until sometime after the episode has aired on the Friend Zone. And if you're coming here from there, the format might be a little different than what you heard there. So don't completely skip over this episode, because ultimately we're going to answer these questions and probably do some cuts and some edits and send over to the Friend Zone for them to then repurpose the way that they want to for their presentation. So you may, if you think you've heard this, you may not have heard everything else. So it's a fun concept. Like I said, I've listened to a handful of the episodes. I know you've listened to some.
Yeah.
I will definitely be listening to more, and hopefully we can kind of cross-pollinate over time, because as you know, if you are not listening to this for the first time, having heard about us there, we get off on all sorts of topics and tangents every which way. So a diversion like this is absolutely perfect for what we've got going on here at Air Quote Law Pod. So again, this is Jobeth and Liz. Ariel is not with us today, but again, I would say should be in the near future, but I don't know when this episode is going to drop into the scheme of things. So what do you say we get to, we've got six questions here from.
I'm going to stop though. We did get six questions, but let's introduce ourselves. So if you're hearing this on the Friend Zone, you'll
know.
Like Joe just said.
Good idea. So yeah, I am Jobeth. I'm an attorney in Maryland. I primarily practice injury law, specifically auto accident injuries.
And I'm Liz, and I am also an attorney in Maryland. Jobeth and I work together. I do criminal defense and family law. And we are a law podcast only in the sense that we are both lawyers and have law degrees. And so we're sort of approaching the world from that perspective. But other than that, it's where we're just, you know, we're here for fun. I think I said in like one of the early episodes of our podcast, I tried playing it for my mother and she said, "What's the point?" And I said, "The point is for fun. That's it. Basically being a lawyer is it's stressful. It's some tough shit. Let's have something lighthearted in our days."
For sure. And the name of the game here for us normally, if you were to listen to other episodes, is shenanigans. And typically our goal is to get off topic and stay there. So we're going to try to not do that for these questions, but we'll see what happens here. So
these are six. Yeah, they asked us six questions. I reviewed them earlier today, and I haven't had a ton of time to mull them over.
That's good. Let's make it organic. Let's just kind of answer these questions on the fly here. So the first question, we'll go back and forth answering them. We'll both answer. I'll ask the odd numbered ones, you ask the even numbered ones, and we'll just go through them in succession. How's that sound?
Love it.
All right. So question number one here is, what does it mean to have a type? Do you have a type? And if so, what is your type?
What does it mean to have a type? That is, you know, I don't know how to answer that in a way that's not just like obvious. Like it's who you like, right? First of all, before we get into these questions, I don't know why anyone wants my opinion on any of this. Just putting that out there.
We're fun. That's what the indication that I got in the first request to, if we would be interested in doing this, is that we're fun.
Okay,
and there. That we take topics that might not necessarily be the most exciting and we have fun with them. So,
hey, that's good enough for me. That satisfied, yeah. You know, that question that I had. So what does it mean to have a type? I think, you know, I think it's obvious. I don't think there is a special, you know, meaning to that. I think it's pretty straightforward. It's, you know, the type of person who you like. And do I have one? I have a lot of people I don't like.
Well, it's an anti-type.
Yeah, I would say I have more anti-types than types.
And would you agree that a type is not necessarily just a physical thing? That's certainly an element of it, that there might be a certain sort of build that you're attracted to, or, you know, there have been things that have circulated over the internet about, hey, you know, I'm looking for somebody that's got to be at least this height, or needs to be taller than me, or shorter than me, or, you know, you're an ass guy or a boob guy or what have you. Those are all things that kind of build into a physical type.
But I think, yeah. And especially, I think the more you like someone on an emotional level, or even just who they are as a person, the more attractive they, you know, become.
What about being drawn to people who have the same flaws? Is that a type?
Yeah, I think it is.
People who go from relationship to relationship and they seem to gravitate toward a partner that just eventually gets to them in the same way that all the others have.
That's
or a very similar way.
Doesn't sound like a healthy type.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I think I have more anti-types. Like there are certain people that I don't want. I think a big anti-type for me are people who are, I don't know, too full of themselves. There's a difference between confidence and like that false confidence. Like, you know, don't try to impress, just be yourself. And if you are an impressive person, you know, just by virtue of who you are,
then so be it.
Yeah. Like, that's definitely, you know, any conservatives are obviously an anti-type for me, you know, like not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. I would say for many people, and this goes both ways, over the past 6 or 8 years, depending on when you're listening to this, that political divide has become a deal breaker for so many people, whether it be you being somebody that's more liberal, not wanting somebody from the far right, or vice versa. I think that to some extent that goes both ways. And there's definitely been some of that. I could tell you that there is definitely some mentality along that spectrum that I would find in a relationship status to be incredibly difficult. Some mindsets that just really, you really think that way, that would not allow things to go too particularly far for me.
Yeah. Like, when I come across people who, like, one of them is like a Trump supporter and one of them is not, I wonder how that works, just because, like, I couldn't imagine that for myself. I mean, unless they're, yeah.
Do you wonder how it works, or do you wonder if it works? Because I think that to some extent,
both.
Yeah.
If it is working. Yeah. Because that just seems so. Yeah.
So that's great. Like, if you fit into that category, and I know that on the Friend Zone podcast, you're not asking us to do this, but for the portion of this that's going to air on Air Quote Law Pod, whenever it does, I would love to hear from you if you are in one of those politically mixed relationships. And I mean, like, get me as opposite ends of the magnet as you possibly can politically. Does it work? What are the hangups? What are the issues? How do you make it work? So shoot us an email at airquotelawpod@gmail.com. This is the kind of story I'd love to talk about and get some insight from somebody who might actually be living in a war zone.
Maybe Friend Zone wants to hear from you too.
Maybe Friend Zone wants to hear from you too. And if you mentioned that you heard us on the Friend Zone and you're emailing us in, we will absolutely forward this along to them. That way, if they want to take it into consideration and make a part of an episode, if it fits into their format, love to do it. So yeah, I mean, a type, I guess I kind of...
You like women.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, I like, yeah, men. I guess that's a type.
I definitely try to not date who I was just dating in many ways, like from a physical standpoint.
Like, if you date someone, the next person, you want them to look different?
Right. Like, I went.
Yeah, you don't want to rerun.
Look, I went from my ex-wife, who was a brunette. My intermediate fling was a blonde. My current wife is a redhead.
So.
And they're not all the same. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't have an extensive dating history, but I would say, so I don't know. I think another anti-type for me is, and you know, these might just be things that I guess we're going to call them anti-types, is I want the person I'm with to be interested in something. It doesn't matter what, but like, you need to have an interest in, like you can't just be like a bland person, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Like, some people are fine with just like, you know, they just listen to whatever music is, like, you know, happens to be on the radio, and they just, you know, see whatever movies are around, and they don't have like something specific that they're into. Like, you know, it's not like the person I'm married to has like a ton of hobbies, but he has like interests. Like, he has like music that he likes and keeps up with. And like, he really likes movies to the point where he's like, you know, knows different, you know, I don't know, oh, this film studio, and I like to watch these. And he is really into building things for the house, which is,
he's into trivia. That's a thing that can be done. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, enjoys trivia. He really enjoys, you know, craft beer. And, you know, any person that, like, you have to have like a thing that you know like a lot about or have an interest in, you know.
I agree. I mean, there are certainly are, how about this? Not necessarily the question, but going along the theme of kind of anti-types, are there red flags for you? Are there things that, you know, oof?
Yes, there are. I say this like I've dated a lot. I have not. I've like never dated in my adult life. I have had two long-term relationships, and one of them ended in marriage. So, But yeah, I think a red flag, but I mean, also I know a lot of friends who have, you know, dated and I've been witness to a lot of that. I think a red flag is when a person tells you that they're super nice, because like, again, just show it with your actions. Like if you come out the gate being like, I'm a nice person, it's like, well, why are you telling me this? Like, are you afraid? Am I not going to see it? That's a
red flag. I was thinking much more simplistic on the red flags thing. Oh. Like doesn't drink coffee or doesn't drink beer.
Oh, like those are things. I have had this conversation about like, yeah. Don't trust people who don't drink coffee or don't drink beer. And my husband doesn't drink coffee, but he does drink beer and he drinks tea. So I'll like allow it.
Yeah, I think there's a scale. There's probably, but there's certainly some things that it's like, really? Like
I have one that's a controversial one. I don't trust people that have the bad feels with cilantro.
Yeah, I'm a cilantro person.
Yeah, like
I've never run into too many non-cilantro people.
Right, but they're out there and it concerns me.
What about the pies?
So I have a theory on pies. Oh my God. And when we were coming back, I just came back from a long weekend road trip and we stopped at like, our kid was hungry. So we like stopped off for a snack and we went into just like, you know, a gas station and my husband comes out and with like snacks. And one of them is, you know, those little, I guess they're probably like, I don't know who makes them, maybe like Tasty Cake or
I think Tasty Cake makes them.
They're the individually wrapped pies. They're like square. And
they're like 4 inches by 2.5 inches, roughly. They've got that little, almost like the McDonald's pies shape but they're not hot. They come on a stack and they'll be like blueberry and apple and whatever else.
Yeah. My thought was, I was like, this is a red flag. People who eat these pies, I feel like only people who are on drugs eat these pies. I don't know really where this came from, except that I like saw someone eating one of these pies once. And I was like, I mean, I do know where this came from between you and I, but I saw someone eating one of these pies and I was like, what is going on? I've never seen someone seriously eat one of these. That is a red flag.
So yeah, avoid those pies if you're trying to stay out of Liz's friend zone, which, you know.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. I think that's enough.
Question number two. All right.
Enough time on that.
How should a man/woman approach you if he wants you to know he's interested? How should they start things off when meeting you?
All right, so I've got to say, this is some like inside baseball for both you and I. You and I are two people that socially seem to not pick up when people are hitting on us.
Yeah.
And this has been a theme.
People have told us this.
Yes. And I literally will walk into a room and hang out and have interactions with people completely oblivious to what many would call obvious signs that somebody is trying to make a move with me. And I mean, some of that might be sub and substance to my relationship status, being married and everything. But even in general, I don't places where I'm generally interacting with people like that are not a place where I'm necessarily going to pick up people. And therefore I've just closed out in my mind the thought that the reverse of that might be happening. I will say, and then we'll get to your similar stories on this same topic, is that my move in wingman capacity is I legit pull the "Have you met Ted?" when I'm trying to introduce a friend of mine, usually Pee Pants, to somebody else at a bar. And I don't go, "Have you met Pee Pants?" inserting his actual name. But I will legit go up to people. This is kind of a test of a type of, are you familiar with this cultural thing, this pop culture thing? I will go up to somebody and say, "Hey, have you met Ted?" And I will point to Pee Pants. And they either get that and it makes sense and the conversation has already started, or they don't. And we already know where we stand with this person.
I have had success with that move one time where I was in the capacity as wingman. And it worked for my friend. It was at Baltimore Pride. And so, you know, that's a very like sexually charged environment, I guess, if you want it to be. I mean, not everyone there, but certainly.
But probably more there. Open and approachable audience too.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, where we were, we were like near a DJ and everyone was like kind of dancing. So it was, you know, it wasn't like the family.
Moves are laid out to be made, is what yeah. you're saying.
And so I did a have you met friend. I used her name and she met someone and they dated for a bit.
Fantastic. Next time, try it with the actual Ted. Yeah. And especially if it's a female, because that'll yeah. just make it extra funny. And again, that reaction, that momentary reaction that either they get it or they don't is very telling. And I'm not saying that, hey, it's not worth dating somebody who hasn't seen How I Met Your Mother, but it's a plus.
Yeah. I mean, oh, I loved that show. It has not aged well for me.
Have you watched the new spinoff, How I Met Your Father?
I started it, but like,
it's just not the same.
No, it didn't. Like when one episode was over, it didn't leave me being like, oh, is the next episode ready to watch? I was kind of like, okie dokie.
Yeah, I'm like two or three episodes in, same feels. And it's going to be, I'll get through it. And it's one of those ones where I feel like maybe it takes a few episodes to kind of kick in. Who knows?
Yeah, it just doesn't have, I don't know. It's not drawing me in the same. I think the thing that I don't like about it is that this group of people, they're just the way that they set them up in the beginning to like meet, like here are people who shouldn't really know each other and this is how they're becoming friends, and it feels very inorganic to me.
And it feels inorganic because they have a framework that works from the original How I Met Your Mother, people who fill roles in the relationship. So now it feels like whoever wrote this had this puzzle and said, we need to put this number of pieces in and they need to fit this way.
Even though there's one more person in How I Met Your Father, it's a group of six instead of a group of five.
I will take your math to mean that you're right. And I wasn't really doing the counting, but there's certain pieces that need to be filled.
Just make a good new show.
Yeah.
But yeah. So to circle back to the question for us, you really need to spell it out. Cause you've been told my friends from like before I knew Jobeth have filled Jobeth in on just who I am as a person. And I mean, now we've known each other for a lot of years.
Well, look at the situation that almost was with a certain friend of yours that took a whole lot of time to turn into absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Cause I sit around and just fucking exist in this little, and that was when I was single. Yeah. And there were numerous occasions of what would probably appropriate to the podcast that we're doing this for of sliding into the friend zone because I just was oblivious and not picking up what somebody was putting down. And it just, you know, didn't happen. Probably shoulda, woulda, coulda. Yeah. And I think that 95% of that is on me of just being, you know, I can read rooms, but I can't read that part of the room for whatever reason.
Well, and I think at the end of that, though, I think it did was probably decided that it would get too complicated between at the time you were my boss and a very good friend of mine. And we were like, this could make my life complicated.
But there was still a whole lot of just unnecessary stalling, I would say, at the beginning of it.
Before we even got to that point. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just need to know because I'm a friend maker. I will make friends with people, you know, and sometimes that confuses people also because they're like, oh, you're, you know, talking to this person. And I'm like, yeah, because they're like a person who exists in the world. And like, it's always good to have more people in your corner. And then, you know, so I get the opposite of that where people are like, oh, are you like hitting on this person? It's like, no, I just like, I'm talking to them because they're a nice person. And I would like to bring them into the sphere of other nice people that I know. And then, So I think I tend to assume that from other people. And then it's like, you know, it's tough when I have had an experience where I've been like networking professionally and then something glaringly obvious happens and you're like, oh, this is weird. And then you're like, have I been doing this wrong? Like, I thought we were networking and now did this other person think something different was happening? And anyway, so that didn't go further with that networking relationship. So yeah,
I just indeed. All right, next question. Let's get a little bit naughty here. What are your turn-offs? This is the
one that's been on my mind.
What's that?
This is the one that's been on my mind since I read it. Because I'm like, how do I address this? But
really, I got some shit for you. What are your turn-offs and turn-ons? What are some of the kinks you have? What really spices things up for you in the bedroom with your partner? I will preface Liz's answer by letting everybody know that she is admittedly a lazy lover.
Yeah. That is true. I just, you know, I do a lot in the day. Sometimes I just want it to be about me.
We should make a sticker about Liz being a lazy lover.
Oh my God. Yeah. So yeah, we share a lot. That's kind of where I am, you know? So Joabeth, what about you?
I don't think I have anything super over the top or weird that is, you know, and which is to each their own. But
the other thing is, like, I listen to Savage Love, like it's Dan Savage's podcast. He does like sex advice and relationship advice. And I love learning about, like, you know, listening to what he says and all the things that people are into. And I love learning about all of it with no desire to do almost any of it. But
I'm down to have that conversation and chat with it. I just, you know, there's a lot of shit that people get themselves into that just doesn't really, I don't know. I'm pretty simple and straightforward. It's not to say that I'm along for the ride to some extent. If I were in a unattached situation and somebody were looking to do some out of the box sort of shit, I'm down. But I'm not necessarily seeking it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I want to hear all about all the weird stuff people do, but I don't necessarily want to engage in it myself. But I want that for them. Like,
yeah.
You know,
no shame in your game, whatever your game is.
Yeah. So,
and I'm not intentionally trying to keep this PC because I know high school kids still listen to this fucking podcast, but you know.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, as far as what really spices things up for you in the bedroom, just be there and be into it. You know, that's good enough for me. But all right, shall we go on to number 4?
Yeah, let's do it.
What factors do you think of when deciding who to date, and what are errors to avoid in dating?
Interesting. Admittedly, I don't believe that I've perfected this.
Well, you know what? We love self-awareness, though.
I think that you know, I need that person. You know, we'll assume this from a jumping off point. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't know if my current relationship doesn't work out and I end up getting divorced, that I'll ever actually get married again. So let's start there. It's not to say that I won't date in the future or anything like that, but I don't think that I'm going to go for a strike 3 on the marriage scale. I would want this person to have some sort of autonomy in their life, meaning that they have their own job/career. And I don't need them to be a breadwinner. They can just, you know, to have something where they are contributing and being compensated for that. And interests, like you mentioned in the first one, in the type, they've got to have independent interests and things that they want to do in their spare time. You know, I'm not interested in some completely codependent situation. That's for sure. I want that person to have their own life and some autonomy. And
so they don't have to be shared interests. You want them to just have.
No, but I mean, to be able to go and do a thing that they want to do and not necessarily, you know, I'm not going to hold them back, but I don't necessarily have to hold their hand either, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, one of my big interests is magic. And unless this other person were a magician themselves, I would not expect them to learn any of this or dig into it that deeply, support my interest. But that's, you know, it doesn't need to, you don't have to dive right in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, definitely my husband and I don't share, like, I, you know, he thinks it's weird. I love like stationery and art supplies and planners and things like that. And I'll watch a video of 30 minutes of someone reviewing different notebooks. And he's like, this is the worst thing in the world. And I'm like, that's fine. You don't, I get it. This is not for everyone. This is for very few.
But he's not cutting off the Wi-Fi router and stopping you from watching it.
No, he's just like, okie dokie. I'm going to like be over here doing my own thing. Yeah, those are good. Those are good factors. I don't know that I have perfected it either, because like I said, I haven't really done much dating, but I think, you know, I mean, so what are errors and what are errors to avoid? I don't know. I am not equipped to answer this question is I think the answer.
I would say some of those red flag things, maybe the more legitimate ones and not the not drinking coffee one, but that tells you a lot about a person.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, just need someone who's having like the same priorities. I mean, like, you know, I don't anticipate on dating again, but like right now, like I have a kid, you know, like that's a thing. I guess they'd have to be okay with that. I, you know, I don't know, like, but I'm not dating right now. Probably I don't anticipate on doing it. So, you know, yeah. Ask me question 5.
I am asking you question 5. What are some things that you notice about the current state of dating and relationships in the modern age? Any comments on social norms?
The modern age, I whenever I'll oftentimes ask people, you know, because you're trying to make conversation, and I'm like, how did you meet? First of all, I feel like a lot of people who meet online are like, you know, weird about it. And it's like, why is that weird? I think that's pretty normal.
I think it's so normal now. Like I'm not in that boat, nor are you, but that's kind of the progression of our relationships and time and what was existed. I mean, when I was single, the Tinder was a thing and P-Pants set me up an account on it. And I connected with some people, but never actually met anybody on it. I was introduced to my current wife. I was also introduced to that intermediate fling that we mentioned, and had things progressed with your friend. That was a personal introduction from someone else. I would say that if I ever ended up back in that situation again, I don't know that I would hop on the online stuff, but who knows?
I do find it fun. I've helped friends like swipe on Tinder. I think it's a fun time, but it's also low stakes for me because I'm not in it, you know? Right. But I think, you know, when I ask people how they met, even if it's online, you know, I want to know like, okay, like, yeah, you met online, but like, what'd you do? Like, oh, did you, you know, meet up in a group? Did you go on some adventure? Like, you know, I'm more trying to make conversation, and I guess people don't really pick up on that. So maybe that's on me. When I'm like, you know, trying to ask them about their significant other to show that I take an interest in this person's life, you know, as a person I'm trying to get to know for, you know, whatever reason in some capacity. So yeah, I think that is the norm, and that's good. Meet people online, you know? I don't know. I don't know that I would do it. I don't know that I wouldn't. I probably would, I guess, but you know, I don't know. It seems like, it's not embarrassing. And I think some people find it embarrassing, but like, why? It's so much of our lives are online these days.
Exactly. I mean, you're listening to this in some version of online. I mean, I guess you could have downloaded it and listened to it offline, but you downloaded it from the internet.
Yeah.
That's how you met us. Whee! Yeah. And you could be hitting on us right now and we wouldn't know it.
We would not. So I don't know. What do you think? What are some things you notice about the modern age?
I mean, admittedly, it's not something that I pay a whole lot of attention to. I will tell you that one of the things that really irks me, annoys me, bothers me is thirst. I'm just going to say it like that. So people who will post photos that are quote unquote thirsty or whatnot, and they're clearly attention seeking. And then all of the fucking thirsty dudes that will respond to them.
So it's working.
I don't know what the end game is, but it just seems kind of sketchy and creepy to me. Like I avoid those types of posts, like just, you know, for people that I'm friends of, I'm not even going to like it. I'm not going to have any sort of interaction with what I see as a clearly attention seeking thing. And I'm also, I can only imagine what's happening behind the scenes, because I've only heard horror stories about gals being sent unsolicited dick pics and things like that. I've never taken a dick pic. I've never sent a dick pic. I've never received one. I don't know why anybody would send me one, but this fucking internet's forever, bro. Like, yeah. Anything you put out there, no matter, despite your best efforts, it's not going away. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever have like a nostalgia for a time you've never been in?
A time that I've never been in?
Like, if you think about like people like used to write love letters, and that seems so romantic. I've never lived in that age, but like that seems romantic and something we don't have now.
I mean, there's definitely, God, it's such a different world, even though when I was growing up.
Yeah. Like I was talking to someone, it's like, I don't even think at this point, I could not identify my husband's handwriting. When do I ever see him handwrite anything? You know, like never.
Yeah.
So, all right, should I ask you question six?
Let's go to question six.
Tell us what it means to be a good friend or a good lover. How do you show someone you care? I really like this question.
You know, I think to some extent, I'd like to answer this by chiming back to one of our older episodes, older in the sense that it has released before this will release. And not in an obligatory way, but I think that this answers the question to our gift giving episode very well, in as much as having kind of the wherewithal and the understanding of who people, and I don't mean to mean that this answer is purely in a material gift giving sense, but the, you know, in that episode, which I think was episode 33,
I believe it was,
it's you know, we talked about when are times that it's appropriate to give gifts, when is it too much. I think that gifts that are not solicited by some specific holiday, and they're the, oh, I got you this because I saw it, it made me think of you gift, is those are kind of the best types of gifts. So, and again, this is not an obligatory thing to make somebody a good friend, but
extrapolate that to like, if you think of a meme, if you see a meme and it, you think I would enjoy it, like
perfect. Send it to me. Wonderfully perfect example. A meme is a gift. It just doesn't cost anything.
A meme and, is such a gift.
But it and some of them are substantial gifts. And some of them are gifs or gifs, depending on how you're supposed to pronounce that. That is not a prompted question. So we're not going to get into that debate, not here. Different story for a different day, and probably not for this podcast, because do we really care? No. So I would say that those things definitely show that A, somebody's thinking about you and they don't need to, that you have made enough of an impression on somebody, or that they get you enough that those things trigger, you know, you mentioned nostalgia in a time of whatever, but like being in a place and seeing a thing, I'll use an antique store as an example of, oh shit, so-and-so would really enjoy this or get this. And maybe you get it for them. And maybe all you do is you take a picture of it because it's fucking 2022. And you send that picture of that weird thing that you think that they'd be interested in. Like, I remember somewhere years ago, I was in some place. I don't even remember where I was. And there was some sort of like weird Hello Kitty themed bedroom that was set up behind some plexiglass. I'm assuming this was in some sort of a museum or some shit that I was in. And it just, you know, taking a picture of something like that and sending it to somebody that you know is going to get a rise out of it.
Yeah. So like thinking of people just and checking in, like making that connection when you don't have to, you know, or even just if you haven't heard from someone in a long time, just being like, hey, how are you? You know, making that connection even when you don't have to. Like, you know, we all have those friends that like, you know, you see because like at parties or whatever, but like if that's the only time you're seeing or talking to that person, that doesn't feel like a genuine like friendship to me. It's someone in your sphere, in your circle, and they're probably fine people. Like, not saying there's anything wrong with having people like that. We all have people like that. But the people who I would consider like friends are people that I am routinely, you know, talking to. And it doesn't have to be routinely, like, you know, every week. Although I'm a talker. I talk to most people like weekly. Like, if you haven't heard from me in a few weeks, like, be concerned. Like, I'm going through some shit because, you know, I genuinely reach out. So that is one thing that I'm pretty good at. And I also know this about myself. I know I'm the friend that, you know, will be the one to reach out, and people appreciate that about me, I think. But yeah, definitely making that connection. I thought of you doing that. I think that that is what it takes to be a good friend. And I will tell you something that I hate that most people would not agree with. I hate when people cancel plans. And I see all these memes like, oh, people like, oh, I love when plans are canceled. No, if we have a plan, that was my plan. However,
who loves when plans are canceled?
I don't know. I see like memes and shit of all these like introverts being like, oh, can't, or John Mulaney has a bit where he's like canceling plans is like heroin or something because it feels so good.
Yeah, I don't get that, but I also don't agree to do things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
So usually.
But at the same time, and I haven't had this issue in like recent years, you know, but back in the day, whatever, like when people are more sensitive in like college and stuff, it's like, but if I do cancel a plan, like I expect people to respect that because I do it so infrequently that if I cancel a plan and I'm like, I'm sick, like I'm genuinely like.
Some shit happened
like that, like you don't want to be around me because I'm going to snot everywhere. Like this is not, you know. And, you know, I am now in the age of COVID, I am a lot more careful, but like pre-COVID, I was one of those people, if I wasn't feeling great, but like I could power through, I'd be there, you know, that's not okay to do anymore. And so I don't do that, but, you know, mostly it's not socially acceptable, even if I know I'm COVID negative, but yeah, I, you know.
Ooh, I wonder what is dating like, this kind of goes back to that last one. What is dating like in this kind of COVID-y sort of post-COVID, not post-COVID sort of era? I know I'm jumping around back to the other question, but
we were taking COVID tests before we, you know,
yeah.
See people.
I mean, not that people were too particularly concerned about hopping into bed with people and sharing whatever the hell else they had, but
I feel like there was something at the beginning of COVID when we were all home and like I did video chats with people from law school who like I hadn't talked to in a while just because like we were all home with nothing to do. And so everyone was reaching out and being like, hey, you know, let's connect. So I feel like I did a lot more of that. I mean, there are a couple people I met Ariel during COVID over a video, you know? So like that was kind of a weird thing, but like I continued, you know, meeting people, just having Zooms.
What's the first thing that you think when somebody who hasn't been in touch with you for a while slides back into your Facebook Messenger, or lo and behold, has popped back up in your text messages or otherwise?
I'm looking them up on KSearch to see if they have pending cases and why they want free legal advice from me.
Okay, yeah, there's that.
That's
or they're trying to get you into their MLM, right?
Oh, or they're trying to, yeah, they could be doing a pyramid scheme. I delete a lot of people though. I don't have that many Facebook friends because I just delete people because I feel like, I don't know, if we don't talk.
Yeah. No, I just let them ride. I leave them out there. If I think something's obviously a fake account, I will get rid of it. But outside of that, I just let it there.
And it's mostly because like I used to do that. And then it started where like, but I would like post something and be like, does anyone want to do A, B, and C? And like someone would be like, yeah, I want to do that. And it's not someone that I would want to like do something with.
Yeah.
And that's what I was like, you know, if this is how I'm going to use this, I better just like clean it up a little. So now if I post something to the massive, like, hey.
So does anybody who's not Rick want to go to a baseball game this weekend?
Yeah, right.
But not Rick. Because you're an asshole, Rick.
Is he the one who farted?
Excuse me?
Who farted?
What are we talking about?
He put on, there was someone that, some, one of the high schoolers that listens to the podcast.
Oh, God, who farted?
Who farted?
Frederick, tell us who farted. I don't remember who farted. It wasn't, was it Rick?
It might have been.
Oh, yeah.
But well, yeah, but like, especially because, you know, I will have like put up like a post.
Tony farted. That's what it was.
It was Tony.
Yeah.
Well, no one wants Tony the farter.
Yeah. So does anybody except for Tony the farter want to, funny that you mentioned that. And we're not necessarily done answering this question, but I saw this thing. Where is it? Yes. Okay. So imagine, for those of you who are hearing this, either coming over from the friend zone or hearing this for the first time on the friend zone, now you get the validation of us getting off of topic here. So this meme, which I will share with you verbally, imagine farting so good that the king gives you a 30-acre estate. In fact, imagine someone farting so good that you're reading about them right now 900 years later, or listening about them on one of these two podcasts. So this is from Wikipedia. There's an entry and you can look this up. Roland the Farter, known in contemporary records as Roland le Farter, Rolandus le Fartere, or Roland le Petor. My pronunciation may be a little off on some of those, was a medieval flautist. No, okay. Flatulist. Who lived in the 12th century England. He was given Hemingstone Manor in Suffolk and 12 hectares, approximately 30 acres of land in return for his services as a jester for King Henry II. Each year he was obliged to perform unum saltum et sifitum et unum bumbulum, which roughly translates into one jump, one whistle, and one fart for the king's court at Christmas.
So the king just really liked fart jokes.
I guess the king just really, and this is 900 years ago.
I love this. I love this for the king. I love this for the flatulist.
So, yeah.
Really that this worked out for them. What a legacy.
Good on Roland the Farter.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll make a sticker of Roland the Farter.
Oh, we should. He's probably in the public domain. Well, I guess he was real. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What about being a good lover? We never really answered that.
I can tell you what Dan Savage says. GGG, and I think it stands for good in bed. You want to be good. Just you want to be giving. And you want to be game to like try new things.
Okay.
And I think that, I mean, communication, I think that's what's important because, you know, if you have to both listen to what your partner wants, but I also think you have to be willing to tell them what you want, because I don't know, by the time you're jumping into bed with someone, I don't think you need to be shy anymore. Like that's pretty much, I don't know, the most, I don't know, one of the most intimate things you do, I guess. I don't know. For me, maybe not for other people, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think that being open to and just asking about what somebody else wants, what their needs are, things of that nature. Certainly important to being able to satisfy, that's for sure.
Yeah. But, and I guess it kind of goes with the whole thing is really just thinking about, you know, the other person. So, yeah.
Indeed. So hopefully, hopefully you're listening to the Friend Zone. Maybe you're hearing us there. Maybe you're hearing us back here on Air Quote Law Pod. Fantastic experience doing this and answering these questions for Benji. So be sure to subscribe to this if you are listening on the Friend Zone or to us if you're listening to Air Quote Law Pod. We would love to hear your feedback on any of these questions, any of the six topics here, or any topics if you are listening to other episodes of the Friend Zone and want to chat with us or hear our kind of take on it. Don't hesitate to email us or DM us on any of the social media. We're Air Quote Law Pod everywhere that we exist. We're Air Quote Law Pod at gmail.com. You can find us through the Electricast podcast network there. And
also, if there are podcasts that you listen to that you think would be good for us to listen to and to connect with that we might not know about, send us those.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'd love to reach out and cross-pollinate with like-minded podcasts or that have some overlap for us.
Yeah. Or if you would like to be a guest on our podcast or would like us to be a guest on yours, please reach out.
Exactly. And if you also, we are going to make stickers of at a minimum, the Liz is a Lazy Lover and probably Roland the Farter. Why not? Roland with Roland.
Rolling with Roland.
So shoot us an email. One of the things that we do on our show is anybody who emails us what we call a question from the jury, when we would normally do that in a normal segment where we just answered six questions. So we're not going to filter in any more here, not this time. We if you include a mailing address, we won't dox you, but we will mail you some stickers. So depending on when this drops and where you hear it, if those Roland with Roland stickers exist or Liz is the Lazy Lover stickers exist and are still in stock, maybe we'll get some to you.
Yeah. I guess that's it. I will tell you a concerning thing that has been happening throughout this recording.
Okay.
Is that right before we recorded, I found a screw on the floor.
Okay.
That means that something in my office is missing a screw and I'm waiting to find out if it's like the chair that I'm sitting on.
Interesting. So
where I don't know what is broken, but it is something.
Well, if that's you fall flat on your ass, we'll know what it is.
Oh yeah. So I think that's all we got.
Yeah, that's all we got for today. So thanks for listening, regardless of where you listened. And if you listened on, like I said, if you listened on the Friend Zone, make sure you check us out on Air Quote Law Pod. If you are hearing this on the regular Air Quote Law Pod feed, make sure you go check out the Friend Zone because it's a pretty cool podcast. This has been a great time, and this has been Air Quote Law Pod. We're adjourned.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed Podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed Podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed. Electric Acid.